Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another episode of the Weekend Review. And as always, I'm joined by my most excellent panel. This week, from Youngstown, Ohio, we have activist, author, and teacher Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Hey, Simon, thanks for having me. Thanks for the rousing introduction. Looking forward to solving at least one problem today with the help of this most excellent panel.
Right. Well, we'll give it our best shot.
And I hope so.
From Springfield, Illinois, radio newsman and talk show host TJ Hart. TJ, great to talk to you again.
Hey, great to be talking to you. And let's give it a good rip today.
Okay, I have some trivia for you. Initially, I was going to ask you if you'd met Homer, Bart, or Marge yet, but I didn't do it. I got my wife to do it. She did some research on The Simpsons, and Matt Goering chose the name Springfield because there are 22 states that have a town called Springfield. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And ironically, most of those same states also have the town Shelbyville in them as well. I'm not kidding you.
And in fact, Matt Goering went on to allude to the fact that if there was a particular Springfield involved, it was the one in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. However, there are just way too many similarities to this one, including the longtime cartoon newsman Kent Brockman. We had Don Hickman. They look alike, they sound alike, and they laugh at their own stupid jokes.
So, and we forget, and T.J. Hart's always seen at the is well known at the bar known as Moe's.
Oh, certainly. Only they call it the Barrelhead here.
And from the city of Angels, Los Angeles, we have psychologist Dr. Gary Penn. Gary, welcome.
Hello, hello, Simon. Hello, man. It's we're going to have to make up a lot of stuff, you know, scour like the page 10 and 12 of the newspaper because nothing seems to be going on these days. So let's see what
right.
we can come up with.
Yeah, I mean, the news has just been dead. Oops, bad pun. Actually, let's kick off with the Ukraine and MH17. That story just won't stop. I was very amazed earlier this week. The Dutch are a stoic people. And I thought the ceremony to receive the first of the bodies back was conducted with great restraint. There weren't any speeches. There wasn't even any commentary. Just great respect for the victims. Sam, your wife is from the Netherlands. What did she make of the whole thing?
Glued to the TV, crying for many reasons, just because of the dignity. It was about the victims, and you know, and also the Dutch were very emotional people, and then the fact that it was also spontaneous. This wasn't well planned, and that all the people had kind of dropped what they were doing to go to the overpasses and sit in silence as opposed to, you know, making a lot of noise. She was amazed at and impressed with and happy and proud of. And I think we all should, I was very moved by the ceremony too. It was and went on too. I think as the bodies came in, it was the same old thing. It was a repeat. It wasn't just one for dog and pony show. It wasn't a dog and pony show. It was set up to totally respect these body bags because nobody knows who's in them. And now they have to go back to that unfortunate, that military base where they have to go through the pain of identifying all those bodies that were killed. And I think the one thing she said, because she spoke to some of her sisters, and they were Skyping, is that proportionately, this was to Holland what 9-1-1 was to us as a nation. It was a terrorist attack, whether you like it, however you want to say who did it. It was a terrorist attack. They had as many people proportionately die in their country as we did in 9-1-1, and that type of shock and that type of insanity of hitting a country like that. I mean, and the way they stood up, didn't overreact in trying to. Although as much as I wanted, I'm still a little perturbed at the rest of the world for letting these Ukrainian thugs loot, steal, dismember, to get rings off these survivors, steal their clothes, and just allow that to happen. That was just talk about rubbing someone's face in. In it, they did a great job at it, but that's the history of that part of the world. That's the way they always reacted. And we shouldn't be surprised that a bunch of drunken, crazy Ukrainian nationalists act the way that they do act. What I'm disappointed in is the reaction of the rest of the world, but I think I do tip my hat to the Netherlands and the way they conducted a very moving and graceful ceremony.
Right, and to put this in terms of numbers, I believe the entire population of the Netherlands is 17 million. So it's about half the population of California.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. TJ, do you have any opening salvo for us on this subject?
Well, as far as the treatment that happened with the Dutch, sometimes you can communicate so much more when you say nothing at all, and I think they communicated respect and dignity and care in its loudest form by not saying anything at all, and I was pretty touched by it. As far as going on to what Sam said about these drunks that are playing with military armaments, you're asking for trouble, and you're getting some. And from what I understand, the Russians have also been lobbing ammunition into the Ukraine, at least some of the reports that you've gotten, and that they're shooting down more planes, but they're Ukrainian planes. But something just tells me that there is a time bomb in the brain of Mr. Putin that just says he can't take it anymore. He had to be a nice guy long enough to pull off the Sochi Olympics, and that he's just got so much of that old Soviet Union in him, he's about to burst. Others that used to work with him, some of his former secretaries and office holders, have told members of the foreign press that the man has it in his head that he is going to restore Russia or the Soviet Union to its former greatness, and he'll stop at nothing. And I get the feeling he's just got an itchy finger right now. He wants some kind of a war. He wants some kind of a big victory to beat his chest and say, look, we are Russia, and we are going to be the kings of the world. I just get that feeling with this guy. And others say, well, maybe you're letting your emotions run a little too high. But, you do the research, and you hear the words of those who used to work with him who won't work with him anymore. I think we're dealing with a crazy man with a whole lot of big toys that go boom.
Okay, and Gary... I know you won't appreciate this, but TJ used the term crazy man, and I believe that's kind of your area of expertise.
I don't think he's crazy. I think it's about it's all about guys just swinging their dicks around. I wonder if TJ or I wonder if anyone else said, you know, how do we let George W. Bush invade Iraq? You know, I wonder, you know, what we did with Iraq is pretty much the same thing. I thought we didn't have as much validity as Putin does with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We just decided to go in there because, well, absolutely for no reason except for oil and to take another country's resources. So when someone says, you know, he's crazy, yeah, you know, look, if he needs to do this and he needs to annex Ukraine, let him do it. But I just, you know, and when Sam says, how can we let him do that? Well, what are we supposed to do, put tanks there?
I mean, let him do that. I said let the Ukrainians control a crash site where they shot the plane down, and that's like allowing someone to get murdered in the city.
No, but I understand
everybody allowed
that, Sam.
To go in,
I'm just
and
saying,
allowed to go
what,
in.
What are we going to do? I mean, what do you
what
want
do?
Anyone to do?
One of the things that should have been done is huge economic sanctions instead of being.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Should have been tightened. No, that no one.
That's
did.
What
they
we're doing, but it isn't just the United States. It's also all of Europe.
And if Putin says
I'm going to turn off all the natural gas, it's going to cripple the.
That's the problem we have right now.
That's right. So we can't do anything.
Right, so these guys can shoot down planes. Or whatever they
and
want
we can
to do.
Go, and we can go into Iraq whenever we want to and swing our dicks around. And it's the same thing.
And
difference.
You know what? We never got a goddamn drop of oil out of Iraq, by the way. The Chinese
right.
got it all.
So
that's exactly right.
What do they do, Gary, that for the commercial airliner with all these innocents abroad? By the way, there were a bunch of people going to help.
Of course you're right. I'm not going to defend that, but of course you're right. We killed 100,000 Iraqis who had no quarrel with us, and we slaughtered them. For what reason?
I agree with you on that. Okay, but
yeah.
That's all, of course, in hindsight. For what reason? Nation building. Nation, which has gone nowhere. And look at the Middle East now. It's in work. If Hussein was in power, I think we'd all agree things wouldn't be so bad over there. But
yeah.
He's not. And what happened, happened.
That's right.
Now we're dealt to deal with it. And you know what, Gary? No one knows how to deal with it. Whoever heard of ISIS? I never heard of ISIS until this last couple months. And now they're starting, they're almost taking over the whole Middle East.
That's right. There's nothing to do except... The Republicans say that Obama should do more, but they have no idea what it should be, but they should do more. But who knows?
Okay.
I got an idea about that ISIS thing and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Let those three entities fight it all out, and whoever's left standing, if they really want to see if they can take on the West and the world, we'll deal with it then. Let them take it out and let them duke it out themselves. Let them weaken themselves. Let them all walk away wounded, trying to change the face or the brand or the flavor of Allah that they're trying to establish over there. I'll tell you right now, the Taliban are saying, yeah, you know, we share this same idea about the caliphate, but you know what, ISIS, we didn't see you running the show. And the same thing is happening with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda thinks that ISIS is nuts, and that's Al-Qaeda.
Well, here's the other thing. We are supplying in Syria ISIS with weapons and humanitarian aid, and other things to fight the Syrian regime. In Iraq, we're giving weapons to the Iraqi government to fight ISIS. I mean, it's
well,
lunacy.
In Washington, D.C., we have to trust them.
It's lunacy.
It
and,
is. It's the Keystone Cops.
Yeah, let them all, as a friend of mine said, let them all kill each other, you know what I mean, and don't get involved. Is that what you're supposed to do? Maybe that is. I mean, we haven't been able to control it for millions of years, it seems. Not hundreds of thousands, millions. But, Gary, I want to get back to your point about the, what are we supposed to do when if a plane crashes in another country, what the other countries, most of the time, whatever brings it down, weather, friendly fire, unfriendly fire, the country it falls in, usually because there's civilians on it, cooperates with and gets all those bodies home, settles the lawsuits, tries to bring closure to everybody. In this case, it was everything but that, and someone needed to send the West needed to send a lesson. Now, the Dutch, because they had the most people on the board, probably should have tightened the economic sanction, but as you correctly pointed out, they can't because they're afraid Putin will flip the switch off. And that's a sad state of affairs we're in right now.
That's right. So there's absolutely nothing to do except, you know, posture. And there's nothing to do but say we should do more. And, you know, it isn't like we have all these options and that, you know, Obama's just being a pacifist. He's not being a pacifist. There's nothing to do. There's absolutely nothing to do. If for some way all these countries could become energy independent, a lot of things would become a lot easier. But since it's so interconnected and Russia has all the natural gas, it really does puts us behind the eight ball. And, it's a real shame. It's a real shame. We just don't have a lot of options. What really is frustrating, though, is on our soil, the political rancor is just so ridiculous, because it would be nice after 9/11, Democrats and Republicans came together. We all wanted to solve problems together. Instead, today, it's just let's point fingers as quickly as we can. But, Simon, I'm going to bounce right now. Gentlemen, I thought I could be here longer. Boy, so much to talk about. You men, be well, and till next time.
Okay, Gary.
Adios.
Have a good one. Okay. I'm going to go back to something that I think Sam brought up, that there's some evidence that Putin is using artillery, and today I heard the word rockets against Ukraine. Now, I know that the artillery can certainly go 20 miles. What's the purpose? You know, are they just trying to keep people away from the crash site?
Well, first of all, I think it was TJ who brought up the that, and I want to give credit where credit is due. I've heard that the Russians are, I keep seeing stuff on the news that the Obama administration is going to present evidence and pictures and documents and this and that, that the Russians are behind this taking down of this plane, and they're shelling and massing troops and this and that, and you never see anything. So I know that would piss Gary off that I criticized his Messiah Obama, but that's, you know, that's not it. I mean, and they keep hearing all this stuff, and you don't see anything. And I don't, you know, and I don't know, now it seems like this week the world focused this weekend to the Israeli defending itself against Gaza. Last week it was all about the plane. Now it's about the Middle East. Next week it'll be about the plane. You know, and then of course, who knows who brought that Algiers plane down? How do we know that wasn't shot down by terrorists? It makes you wonder, go back to the whole missing Malaysian airline, I forget the name of it. You know, maybe it was brought down by some. Yeah, maybe that was brought down by terrorists, and maybe that's what's going on, and no one wants to admit it, because could you imagine the economic fallout if terrorists have been taking down these planes left and right lately? Look what happened in Friday with that one plane in Toronto with a passenger had a knip jet and went crazy. Jet fighters scrambled and this and that. I mean, it's something's going on, and I don't think we're getting the truth from the United States. Gee, what a surprise, from our governments about how despite the gazillions of dollars spent, it's not that safe to fly in the planes anymore around the country, around the world. And there's all sorts of crazies maybe slipping through the cracks to blow up planes or disrupt planes and what have you. But I think Putin is going to take over Ukraine. He's just waiting for a matter of time. Whenever he feels is right, he'll rip off his shirt, get on his horseback, and lead a charge into the charge of the, won't be the light brigade, it'll be a strong brigade, into the Ukraine, and kind of take it off and put his puppet government in there and see what the rest of the world does. And you know, I assume the Russian military would crush the Ukraine military probably in 48 hours. And step at the end of that, and no one's going to do anything about it because we can't. And I do agree with Gary on that point. We can't. Then the European Union's really got a problem on their hands.
Yeah, that is until it starts knocking on their door. I mean, Poland has been nervous about this for the longest time, and there are a few others over there that are just as, well, not quite, but getting as vulnerable. And, so when do you let the aggressor know where the line in the sand is? I mean, are we looking at something like when Hitler started getting aggressive back in World War II, and the people said, well, it's not our problem, it's not on our doorstep, so... You know, we'll just be over here and call if you need us. It's a question that needs to be asked.
But TJ, surely Europe needs to do something now rather than later. Europe can't do anything, or it is unwilling to do anything. Because of the energy stranglehold, I just don't see any solution.
Well, the solution will come in the form of just how far is he going to push the line. And when enough countries get threatened or feel that they're sufficiently threatened where the oil doesn't really make a damn bit of difference anymore, then they'll fight. Then they'll get serious. Then they'll, either with sanctions or with arms, and I sure hope to God it's sanctions. I'm tired of wars right now. I really am. But, it won't be until they start. It's going to be, like, not in my backyard. Until Putin is lobbing crap over somebody's backyard fence and enough backyards are involved directly instead of indirectly, will the European Union step up? It wouldn't be in their best interests, from an outsider looking in, that they would. So everybody just says, oh, my God, that guy's mean. That guy's terrible. Oh, something should be done. Well, hell, what do you want me to do about it? You know? And that's exactly what it's going to be for a while.
TJ, you have a great point because there's been a push going on that should have been a military, look, we have... Every one of those countries, the Dutch, the Germans, the French, the Polish, whatever, all have special ops. And if they really were, to my opinion, if they were really serious about sending a message to the Russians, the Ukrainian crackpots, and everything, we've had enough time for you guys to play games. Our game times are over. They should have dropped in the special ops, secured the site, whisked everything out of there, because there's still a missing body. And there's still like 30 or 40, 50 missing bodies around there. And grabbed everything out of there, secured the site for what he wanted to do. I don't think the Russians or the Ukrainians would have fired on a international special ops force that was there to grab that, and that would be it. But they're not. Everyone's afraid to do it. And they want someone else to do it. They want somebody else to do it. It's clear. And
yeah,
I'm
in case
not
somebody...
That,
yeah, you're right.
They want the United States to step up and do it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it because we shouldn't, number one, because it's not really in our national interest. And number two, we'd rather give $47 million of what John Kerry brought a checky with him to give to the Palestinians because the terrorist tunnels have been collapsed and they've got to dig more tunnels. So Kerry had to give them that check on Friday, and that's a more important thing for us.
Okay. But I do want to get to... the Israel situation, but before we move on, MH17, there were actually 17 countries, citizens, on that plane, and no one is doing squat. And That's what bothers me.
Perhaps they're doing something, Simon, but they're not showing their hand. That could be.
Well,
I don't think. Should we? I guess the question becomes: then we didn't. We only had one. We only had. There was a dual Dutch American citizen on that plane.
I believe there was two.
Two. two. Okay, I thought there was only one. I think the Dutch have this is their baby. I was hoping they would do something, but it appears that I didn't realize they were Russia's second largest trading partner. And you know what they trade the most in with them? Money. That's a big thing. That's the whole Dutch country. They don't have a lot of natural resources there. And they've always been great at financing and this and that. And Russia's their big financial partner. So what can they do? And that's why, the Obama lovers can talk all they want about the tightening of sanctions in Russia. It isn't working. It's a joke. If they could do that, they could bring in the offshore the corporations in America and the billionaires in America that are hiding all this money in offshore oil accounts, offshore drug accounts, offshore profit accounts. And we don't do anything about that. Bush didn't do it. Obama doesn't do it. The next president won't do anything about it. So to say that the economic sanctions are really hurting Vladimir Putin, like Gary says, makes me laugh. It just shows the ignorance of what people think. That's not happening at all. And the Dutch have to do it because they would have a much stronger effect, but they can't because it's going to have a ripple effect into – this is where the world economy that everyone always wanted to be a part of, and we are, now comes into play, right? We're also – the incestuous relationship of money back and forth between all these countries and all these people now plays a part in if one country becomes a rogue nation, how do you get at them? You can't embargo anybody anymore. You're not going to cut off because your own country will suffer, right? Economic sanctions don't work because they go both ways now.
Right.
I'm wrong. Maybe one of you guys can straighten me out on that one.
I'll let TJ take a stab at that.
Well, in this situation, the United States is now the single largest producer of oil and natural gas. And there are mechanisms that could be put in place to supply the European nations with our product. It just won't get there as fast, and the cost will be a little bit higher than what the folks are paying in the European Union. I should Putin turn off the spigot. But the thing is that it could be done, but it would be painful, and nobody wants to go through that kind of pain right now. And what you said with everybody having something in common, which is money, it is absolutely true. But you would think that would give everybody the sense of good citizenship. And you have to all be good players in order for all of us to benefit. And if one wants to go rogue, what's in it that's so important for that one nation to the detriment of the rest of the world? And that's why I use the term crazy. It makes no sense.
Okay. I'll play devil's advocate for a moment.
All right.
Gas price. We have all of this natural gas and oil, blah de blah. Prices are really high. If we were to siphon off some of that supply to offer to Europe.
Yeah.
What do we do?
We're going to be in the same boat with them because we'll be paying a higher price per gallon as well.
Right.
So see, there's the thing right there. How important is it to you?
Well, here's the question, you guys, and TJ, you just brought up a great point. We are the largest natural gas and oil producers in the world right now. Okay. However, gas went up. Gas right now around in Ohio is about $3.30 a gallon, $3.29. Beginning of the summer, it was like $3.70, $3.80 when Putin was playing around with Iraq. I'm Ukraine, and that is because we were sending a shitload of oil to Europe for their reserves. So they have reserves in case Putin flips the switch off. All right. I don't like the fact that gas is $3.70 or $3.80 a gallon, so we could help out Europe, but are we in that position to do that? I mean, it's going to be like, so if Putin cuts off the spigot, and then we're going to stop shipping all our oil to Europe to make up for the lack of oil coming in from Russia, which is going to drive the price up like crazy in America, so we're going to suffer. And that's what I mean by, so we can't really play with the oil game. We really can't get, you know, so we can't play with that because, and like, you know, the Arabs, look, the Arabs in such a mess. I mean, do you remember, if this would have happened 20 years ago with Israel and Gaza, we wouldn't be getting the oil shipments in America, would we?
No.
There would have been an oil embargo. They need the money now, too. Everyone needs the money. It's all about the dough. It's all about the Benjamins, that movie has said.
And not about doing the right thing.
Yeah, not about doing the right thing. Because I look at the fact that how dare John Kerry and Barack Obama and the Congress bring $40 million more to the Palestinians when they are not the Hamas, excuse me, not the Palestinians. Give that money, give a check to Hamas where they will go out, let their people, if anybody doesn't believe that Hamas only believes in Hamas, and doesn't believe in the taking care of the Palestinian people, after what we've seen with these terrorist tunnels, the rockets, and this and that, you know, they're full of shit. Okay,
yeah,
they're anti-Semitic, and they're full of shit. Because, and then
they're
we
hiding,
gave them
they're,
more money.
They're hiding
what
their
are
missiles.
We giving them money for? So they can starve their people more, force their people into being suicide bombers? You know, what is it with the... Why do we do that? Why does Western Europe keep giving money to this terrorist organization that wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and basically uses women and children as human shields,
yes,
and then holds up a dead little body and says, look at these evil Zionists. Look at them. Look what they're doing so they can get more money. It's insanity.
I believe it was Reuters that blew the cover on that because they noticed that some of the bodies, and most of them were children, in Lebanon, were kind of showing up at different bombing sites. It was the same kids, the bodies of dead children. And they saw them being positioned for the photographs. And the reporters were going, hey, wait a minute here. And some of them didn't quite get out alive because they questioned what they were doing. And they're doing the same thing with Hamas. They're operating up the same playbook there in the Gaza Strip. And let's take a look at the body count. Yeah, there are more people on the Palestinian side of the Gaza Strip side that are getting killed over in Israel. But, Sam, you hit the point right on the head. They launched their rockets sometimes from the tops of schools and hospitals. And they hide their munitions many times in residential areas, thinking, well, these people have a soul, something we might not have. And, you know, they wouldn't dare drop a bomb to get to our ammunition dumps or ammunition supplies or to our rocket launchers, knowing that they could kill innocent people. These people have too much of a conscience here. Well, guess what? Things are happening, and the world sees it as, in some cases, is that Israel is heartless, and they have no compassion, and they're bombing innocent people, and what have you. Hamas is setting up their own people to get killed. They're using them as human shields. It's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible, and the Hamas has to be wiped off the face of the earth, and let the Palestinians can then repeat the Palestinians who don't want anything to do with war, terror, or whatnot, just want to live a life, can start to be able to live a life. How can you
know
what? You know,
many of the Palestinians are that way. They don't feel that Hamas represents
them. I think that, you know, TJ, I think the Palestinians there who have no other choice but to hide those weapons in their basement, or the guy from Hamas will cut their head off or shoot them down. I mean, it reminds me a lot of the Mexican Revolution that went on for 30 years. If you did, you know, the towns, one week the town was loyalist to this one week the town was loyalist to that one. And it wasn't until Villa and Zapata and all those guys came together to rally them against how evil the Colorados and the politicians were that things changed there for a while. And in the Palestinians, they don't have some charismatic leader who can rally, you know, 5,000 fighters to take Hamas out, and they don't, and therefore it's up to Israel. You know, we're talking like you look at the fighting; it's hand to hand. It's like Stalingrad right now, if you know your history.
Yeah.
And then, at least we forget Israel's Iron Dome has probably prevented 1,000 deaths of innocent Israeli civilians. If it wasn't for that Iron Dome anti-missile defense, you know, those rockets would be landing on people's homes and schools and whatnot. And when I don't know if you went in and saw the, you know, those tunnels don't cost. It's not like they're spending some serious dough that the United States and other countries' taxpayers give to Hamas, and they're building terror tunnels out of them. And that's pathetic. And meanwhile, the people are running through the streets still in their pajamas, and they're just starving to death. There's no food. There's no businesses there. They all live at the at Hamas's beck and call, and it's a sad situation. Sad. And yet, even with ceasefires, Hamas breaks its own ceasefires to make the Israelis look bad. And they don't. And right now, for some reason this year, in this battle, Hamas isn't getting the public relations. They're trying very hard, but then the PR campaign isn't working like it used
well,
to.
Well, people caught on to it, you know.
I think so.
It's a sad situation over there. It's so sad. I went to Mass today, and the priest we had was from Brazil. Guess where he goes tomorrow? Gaza. Why? Because one of the priests over there in the Gaza Strip got killed. He's the next guy to go over there. How did Father George get killed? Well, he made the mistake of trying to preach the word to Muslims. Now, you can preach the word to the Christians over there all day long, but if you start throwing around Jesus Christ in front of you know, a group of people who aren't receptive to that, guess what? You're dead, and that's what happened to it. They've got a couple of missions over there, and as Father De Silva was speaking today, he said, we do get a courtesy call. The folks from Israel do give us a call saying, get all those handicapped kids out. You got 15 minutes, and, you know, here's your safe place. And they have 15 minutes to get out. And this thing, his first trip over there, is about his third, by the way. So, you know, he's familiar with the drill. So, you know, it's a terrible situation over there. There ain't no winners. There's a whole lot of losers. But the thing is, as long as you got these knuckleheads trying to fire off rockets, and what's going to happen if one of these guys who's firing off the rockets from the Gaza Strip accidentally hits a little further down the road and accidentally takes out that gold dome? How do you PR that? How do you PR that? You just took out the dome where the Prophet Muhammad ascended into heaven. That is essentially built on the old temple.
The whole thing is so incredibly stupid. I don't understand why that they just can't all get along nicely. Now, I know at the very root is Jerusalem.
Correct.
And yeah, that seems to be the real sticking point. But you know, if everyone got along nicely, does it matter which side owns Jerusalem? Sam?
Yes. About Jerusalem? I think Jerusalem is, you know, look, you know, if you remember this from the Six-Day War, right? Israel took over the Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, and Jerusalem. Okay, those were all they were all won in wartime, and they've since, because the only country that ever did peace with them is Egypt, they gave them back the Sinai Peninsula. Jerusalem they hold on to, and that's what they want. Some people want to make it their capital. It's theirs. It's in their country, you know, and you know I. That's it. You know, it's Israel. They already gave, you know, if the Arab world would make more peace like the Egyptians did and Sadat, I think the Israelis have proven they can get along and be willing partners. As a matter of fact, the only time there was a little break when Hamas got all these rockets, I think everyone will tell you, is after the Mubarak fell and the Muslim Brotherhood took power in Egypt, that's when Hamas has got most of this all this weaponry from, and there's been a lot of problems in those with the in Egypt around the crossing, the checkpoint in between Egypt and the Gaza Strip. And the Egyptian military has sealed it off. There's been a lot of fights, killings going on over there between the Hamas militants and radical Islam against the Egyptian military. So, but Israel and Egypt made peace. They get along great. I think if the rest of the Arab world would make peace with Israel, just like on the part that Egypt did, Jerusalem could be a city everyone could go to under Israeli control, Gaza, you know, this, that, and whatnot, but it's not. You know, and so I don't think that, you know, why should Israel and all the wars that have been fought for years, right? All the wars that have happened for years, the conqueror got to keep what they conquered. So why should Israel have to give up Jerusalem? And by the way, you want to make Jerusalem an international city, and who's going to run it, the United Nations?
Oh, I was just going to say that. Let's put Bangkai Moon and everybody there instead of New York.
I want more blue helmets. And with the blue helmets, gee, Simon, gee, TJ, gee, listening audience, who's going to end up paying the bill for to oversee the United Nations overseeing the international city of Jerusalem? Oh, gee, the United States taxpayer. You know, I mean, hey, as far as I'm concerned, you can take that UN and stick it in another country. And let the other taxpayers pay for it. And I'd be very happy. The world would go on. The United Nations is a joke, has been a joke, will always remain a joke. And as long as countries are all greedy and want power and want things of that nature. And as long as you have five countries that can veto anything, what good is the United Nations? As long as you have one with, all right, Russia, you better stop doing what you're doing. Russia, I veto that. Oh, sorry, we brought it up. I mean, what good is it? Then you got these little countries that are, you know, can tell the other big countries what to do. You know, they gang up on a vote. Just by, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. It's the most enabling organization for bad guys I've ever seen in my life. And you know, I mean, it always has been. I mean, go through everything they've got. Everything they stuck to. My favorite is the UN peacekeeping forces. They don't have any weapons. I mean, look what they've done in Africa. Look what they've done. Wherever the UN has been to try to do things, it's been terrible. And what is the always thing they scream for? More money, more money, more money. And that means American taxpayers, belly up, belly up, belly up, because nobody else is.
Well, this is a bit dated, but as I recall, and I recall this from a couple of years ago, the one country that wasn't bellying up its fair share was the U.S.
Are you talking about as far as we paid for everything in the U.N.? Oh, no, for a couple of while. They ended up paying the bill at one time. I think the only reason that happened, Simon, is people they said, we're not going to pay it anymore. And we've been paying it for years, and we didn't for a couple of years. And then we paid it all back. I may be wrong on that. It's sort of like the sequester. All those people who got laid off, they told they were never going to get them. They knew they were going to get paid. And they've all been, all the people who were laid off for 3 weeks last year, all got their money back, plus a bonus for getting laid off. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
The United States federal government. I mean, it's the same sort of, it's a joke. It's a big joke on the American taxpayer. And they don't get it. Joke's on us. And until we change the way we do things, it's gonna be this way, and the same thing with the UN. I mean, if the UN was a successful organization, that means that from day one, when they'd have gone into a war-torn area, they would do a good job, and they haven't, because I think part of the UN to keep the UN is like Hamas. They have to have these proxy wars going over an ethnic cleansing all over the world. So they can get money from all the other countries and keep the giant bureaucracy growing and not solve a damn problem. Because if the UN could solve problems, there'd be less need for them, or they'd be able to slim down and what have you. Hamas was running out of money. They needed to get on the front page again. And just so they're killing all their own people. It's the same sort of, it's the same thing as Jesse Jackson going to, you know, and Al Sharpton, always screaming racist. They don't. They're going to, you know, they're going to go to the ash heap of, you know, the dustpan of, the ash heap of history that, and brought there by the dustpan. And that's what the UN is all about. I mean, they have everything, and it doesn't work. You think we'd get rid of it?
Okay. One last thought on the Israel-Palestine conflict. The FAA suspended flights from U.S. carriers for a day and then changed its mind. Was this a political move? In fact, after the flights were allowed back in, there were reports that an Air Canada flight was forced to circle Ben Gurion because of rocket fire. I mean, political in a political move to put pressure on Israel by suspending flights, or a political move in the removal of the suspension. Sam, any thoughts?
It was very interesting. The FAA would suspend flights in Israel, but not in North and South Korea, not over to Ukraine and other places. You know what I mean? I think it was a politically motivated move by the Obama and Kerry, to make it look to hurt Israel economically. You know what? If you saw Michael Bloomberg flying on LL, not a problem. You know, I mean, I think Obama and Kerry blundered big time. I think they're both anti-Israel, and in my opinion, always have been. You look at the histories of them. I don't know why, but they are. I mean, I don't think they're anti-Semites, but I do think that they're just anti. You know, they're not big supporters of Israel, and the history of both of these gentlemen do that. How they vote, what they say, and whatnot. I was just looking. Obama just called for an immediate ceasefire to rebuild the Gaza. That is, and has to be. Let me see what. The same, you know, quote, we have to start going for the long-term economic, rebuild a long-term economic future of the Palestinian people dealing with Hamas. I mean, what a joke. I mean, is that dumb? This guy just blunders up, with all due respect to Gary, who worshipped the ground he walks on. You know, the guy's a moron when it comes to foreign politics. I'm not saying he's supposed to be sending troops in there, but if that was the United States of America, and we were being, and 200 million of our people were under rocket fire and this and that. We were huddling in bomb shelters, and we didn't know what was going to go on. Think of the economic impact it's had on Israel, too. And you have to dump all your money into armaments, and that Iron Dome has to cost a fortune to keep going. And destroying those tunnels, you've had 48 of your soldiers killed, hand-to-hand combat. Wouldn't it be the best thing for the United States to cut off aid to the Hamas? It is a terrorist organization. They are in control of these people, and let Israel defend itself. I mean, you know, but when it comes to all these other countries, we always have to meddle. But when it comes to Israel, under certain presidents and certain political parties and certain other things, they always have to meddle with the guys that are thrown in. I mean, in this case, how can a United States president or anybody say, hey, this is Israel's problem? Israel has to give up. Israel's the bad guy. The Zionists are the bad guy. They're the ones that, they didn't start this thing. The Palestinians started lobbing, Hamas started lobbing rockets into them. And we're not talking little teeny bottle rockets. Ever since the Arab world, Arab Spring, has happened, obviously, the Hamas is more sophisticated, got better weaponry, used all their tax dollars that they get from the United States and other countries to build a huge terrorist offensive network with our tax dollars. That Obama has increased the amounts of money going to the Palestinian Authority run by Hamas since Hamas took over. Rand Paul called for a complete halt of aid to the Palestinian authorities because Hamas is a terrorist organization. So, you know, I mean, you talk about a hypocritical president, this guy in the office when it comes to dealing with the terrorists in Israel. I mean, I just think he should keep his mouth shut, you know, and let Israel defend Israel. And if that means taking out, wiping Gaza City off the face of the earth and getting Hamas, that's what you have to do. Because that's what we did to Al-Qaeda. That's what, you know, we tried to do that. That's what we're trying to do to these terrorists all around the world, so we live in a safer community. And it seems Obama would rather put NSA on steroids and spy on his own people and letting Israel fight against their terrorists, you know? I mean, to Obama, Americans are terrorists because he's increased the size of domestic spying on all of us. And it's insanity. It's insanity. I mean, how can we tell another country how to defend itself?
TJ, I'll ask you the same question. What did you make of the FAA decisions?
Well, first of all, I think the FAA was trying to look politically savvy by saying, oh, there is a danger. And it turned out, yeah, there was some rocket fire. So for a day, you had the Canadian airliner had to circle until the rocket fire quit. But then the reinstatement kind of came all stumbly-bumbly. But what it did, for one day, it gave Hamas a victory. It gave Hamas a moral victory that they were able to stop commerce in Israel for a day by taking away their airport. A lot of terrorism is all about disruption. So what have they gotten out of this? Well, not a whole lot of positive PR, that's for sure. But they got the small victory. They got their small win. For a day, they got to disrupt business at the big airport, which is Ben-Gurion. And, you know, so that was the end result. Hamas got a small victory.
Okay. I want to move on. Let's talk about something more fun than wars and dead people.
Okay.
Let's talk about sports. Baltimore Ravens Ray Rice has managed to get himself suspended for two games. I believe one suspension is preseason, and the other game is regular season. What did he do? Well, he rendered his girlfriend or fiance unconscious during a little spat. I read this, and to me, I viewed it as the NFL sending a message. You can beat the crap out of your girlfriend or wife. Yeah, we don't care. But do something unseemly on the field, and you'll get a 4-6 game suspension. You know, I was shocked when I read it. And Sam, you're a sports fan. What do you make of it?
Look, the owner of the Browns, Jimmy Haslam, ripped off small trucking firms left and right for billions of dollars. He got a $92 million fine, and all's well that ends well for him. So he should be in jail. His family should have had to sell the he should have had to go to jail. Not the people that he threw under the bus who worked for him. He should have been stripped of his NFL ownership. Blatant ripoff artist, con man. Should have went. Nothing happened to him. So I'm not surprised that Ray Rice only got this. It seems to be the NFL's thing. If we, you know, we're gonna, the more violent and crooked you are, the bigger slap, the smaller slap of hand on you get. It's a screwed up sport. Maybe the what's his name, Goodall. Maybe he's had one too many concussions himself.
And TJ, you're your comments.
There are a lot of professions out there that often have these little things in your contracts called a morals clause. I can't think of any other profession where a guy would still be representing a law firm or a physician's practice or a clinic or an accounting firm if he had been convicted of knocking his wife out cold. It doesn't look good. And you know what? First and foremost, it's wrong. The guy ought to be in jail for at least a little bit. Instead of having a press conference where no questions were allowed, and he gets a two-game suspension out of the deal. And then you have a guy who has a little too much fun because he scored his only touchdown of his career, and he celebrates a little too much, and he gets even more carried away than most. Sometimes they get a fine, and they get a suspension. Oh, by the way, while this guy gets a two-game suspension, there's another player, I can't remember his name, who was out for four games. You want to know why? Because he smoked a joint. He got caught smoking a joint. Now, it doesn't look good for the kids if you're smoking a joint. Oh, but you know what? Knocking your wife around, hey, things happen. Oh, by the way, this guy is a star. How much justice is there when it comes to doling out penalties in the NFL? I don't know. How much justice can you afford? How important is this guy to the gate? You know, if he's important to the gate in Cleveland, he's probably important to the overall receipts from the NFL. So bare minimum on this guy, some guy I don't even know the name of, has to set it out and not take a paycheck for four games because he got caught smoking a doobie. What was he going to do, drive a couch? You know, who was he going to hurt? This guy proven he hit a woman. That's not a man. That's a coward. There's a real good showing. That's pride in the old NFL, boy.
I can see that both of you are in many ways sharing my disbelief that, yeah, oh, yeah, smacking your wife around, that's okay. But, yeah, don't do anything bad on the field. It appalls me.
And they wonder why they call it the No Fun League. NFL. Some of those theatrics, honest to goodness, were they a little over the top on the field? Yeah, but you know what? It was entertaining in much the same way the World Wrestling Empire was. It got a little over the top, and some things had to be modified, but they went way too far. And then when it comes to the stuff that happens out in real life, oh, let's say Aaron Hernandez is still, he only gets 2 years of jail for murdering three people, theoretically speaking. Yeah, is anybody going to want to take him back and then pick this all-world tight end and let him redeem himself? Didn't they do that with Ray Lewis when he was accused of murdering a guy?
Yeah, it's really a shame that OJ's out of shape because I'm sure he would
same
love
thing.
To regain his title. And, right? Yeah,
just
Hernandez.
Just if I did it.
Yeah, right. And, yeah, I mean, Hernandez has him beat by one. Okay. Let's move to some politics, and we've kind of touched on this earlier. The GOP is grumpy. They are claiming that Nero is fiddling while Rome burns. Obama's out on some fundraising while much is going on. The Mexican border crisis, Ukraine, Israel, etc. But I view it as a no-win situation. You know, if the GOP wants to do something about it, they need to. Because if Obama does it, there'll be hell to pay. In other words, it's situation normal in Washington. Boy, I'll bet the House and Senate are looking forward to having August off to relax after a session of doing jack shit. Okay. Who wants to jump in?
Well, I think this is ridiculous, you know. I mean, I'm not a big Obama supporter, as you know, but he's the President of the United States. He's a lame ducker. He's trying to do whatever he can to go out a winner, raising as much money as he can. It's going to help him build his presidential library. He has to find a home to live in after he leaves the White House. He's going to want to have favors. He's going to want to have speaking fees. He's going to want to write a book. He's going to want to be able to invited to all these functions. Because, you know, I think the guy loves the campaign. And I think he's like Bill Clinton. You'll be seeing him invited to many of the senatorial races, many of the gubernatorial races, congressional races from now until doomsday. Will be paid handsomely for it because he did it for them when he had the power. So I know Bush did it. Clinton did it. Bush Sr. did it. Reagan did it. Nixon did it. They've all done it. I think the GOP should get their panties untied and move on. There's more important things than worrying about Obama having a fundraiser here, there, or anywhere. I mean, that's part of politics. I guarantee you some of these Republicans, why there's been a tragedy going on somewhere, have been at a fundraiser instead of at their desk doing their job.
All right, but, you know, should the House and Senate say, look, you know, we've got to do something, so let's cancel this year's 5-week vacation?
No. They're not going to.
They've got fundraising to do, Simon, damn it.
Right. And did you realize that in September when they come back, I think they're actually in session for a whopping 8 days all month. Whoa.
Wow. Well, here's what we've got going on here as far as the border is concerned, and this is orchestrated. I don't care who you talk to. The Democrats have their orchestration and their walking papers. Republicans have theirs. Do not sing from another sheet of paper, or thou shalt be punished. The GOP-led House of Representatives has a whole bunch of legislation pending addressing the border. They say secure the border first, work on amnesty later, or work on some kind of a path toward citizenship later. Harry Reid won't bring it up for a vote. He's the Democrat who's the head of the Senate. Meanwhile, the Senate has other stuff that they have countered with that won't even be brought up by Boehner over there in the House. Why? Because of optics. How does it look? How is this going to resonate? How is this going to match up with what our focus groups tell us they want? They don't listen to citizens. They listen to focus groups, otherwise known in politics as echo chambers. They're not getting much done because they're trying to pass some sort of a litmus test. And the funny thing is, the microphones don't get put on the legitimate congressmen and women and senators who are actually trying to work collegially, who are trying to be bipartisan. You get a handful from the extreme right that always has the microphone on them and the camera on them, and you have a handful from basically the far left who get the spotlight. Why? Because in television land and soundbite radio land, these folks who are a little bit on the out-to-lunch side make for exciting soundbites and nice flashes on the screen. Therefore, that gets people talking. And the audience starts paying attention, and they say, hey, I heard this on such and such, or I saw this on such and such. And the media is as much to blame
for some of this stalemate as the lawmakers themselves. And I will cite MSNBC and Fox News as being instigators in this.
Oh, most definitely. I love the spin that Fox and MSNBC put on stories. It's almost as if you're watching two different events.
Yeah, two different worlds, two different planets almost.
Right.
You know?
It would make for a good sci-fi novel.
Yeah. Sam, get on it, buddy.
It's a... I don't, you know, look, CNN turned into People Magazine right before your very eyes. Fox is bought and sold for by, you know, the far right. MSNBC is bought for the far left. I mean, that's it. I mean, MSNBC and Fox should have to, you know, the Republican Party should have to declare in-kind contributions from Fox News, and the Democratic Party should have to declare in-kind contributions from MSNBC. And that's, you know, that's just the way it is. Anybody can recognize that. And that's why I used to love CNN until they became obsessed with really weird things, like 370. Simon used to, remember that, Simon?
Well, how many times was he?
Now, they were obsessed with it. And they get obsessed with one item, and they just beat it to death. To the point is, and the other thing is, like in Gaza, they rely on BBC reporters. The BBC's anti-Semitic, in my opinion, okay? They're very pro-Palestinian. It boggles my mind. And CNN relies more and more on these, you know, foreign correspondents as opposed to having their own. Unless it's something great, like a Flight 370 or something like in Haiti. Remember when Anderson Cooper moved to Haiti for a month and was down there hanging, you know, and things of that nature. Then their reporting goes down the hill. When they have their own people involved, they seem to be a little bit better. Their crossfire is a joke. I mean, Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd did a better job Saturday Night Live. Than
it was a bit more honest, Newt, too.
Give me a break. You hired Newt Gingrich to be the Republican, the conservative, and Van Jones to be the liberal? I mean, what a joke. They're both, you know, political, you know, people who were thrown out of the political system for their, you know, crazy views, and then they're rewarded on CNN. You would be better off trying to find 200, you know, supposed to be, you know, they're not. And then the guests they get, you know, they're partisan, and, you know, it's just, you know, my wife said it the other day, boy, I miss Walter Cronkite. You know, and even with just Walter Cronkite, we had Harry Reasoner, all those other people, you know, even 60 Minutes was great in the old days. And now it's, you know, it's just, you're right, TJ, the media is just, it's part of the problem. And, you know, the same thing on the newspapers. I look at the New York Times. It's the MSNBC of print. Look at the Washington Times. It's the Fox News of print news, you know, or Newsmax or these other stuff. They're so bought and sold by their, you know, they're such puppets. And it's just,
it's
a shame.
Don't forget RT.
Oh, geez, the Russian Times. Oh boy, their reporters are walking now. They're calling it as it is. They're quitting in droves. We can't lie to you anymore because the lies aren't even that good.
Yeah, you're right. The lies have even gotten terrible. And, you know, and they wonder why no one gives a shit anymore. And that's what it really comes down to. I think everyone's getting sick of being lied to whatnot, and that's why we'd rather run around, and I think that's why we'd rather, to talk about, you know, what was his name, the running back, he got a slap on the wrist, right? Look at the politicians when they get in trouble. When they get caught blatantly stealing, lying to Congress, cover-upping anything, what happens to them? They get a book deal. And no one buys it. It's just ludicrous. The celebrityism, the celebrity worship of our athletes, of our movie stars, of our politicians, of our newscasters, the pendulum has swung so far, I don't even know if it ever can swing back to the middle. And I hope that it does, but I'm not hopeful unless more people start tuning into this radio station. And your show, Simon.
Simon, remember when we were doing those stories back in Florida back in 09 and 10 and 11?
Yep.
I think there were a handful of us who said, you know, when it comes to the news, report the news, don't be the news.
Right, yes. I'm going to get onto that very subject. But first, I want to discuss some crime. This is serious stuff. Did you realize that June and July have proved to be the quietest months this year for school killings? Oh,
wonder why that is.
Yeah, I just remembered most of the kids are on summer break.
Simon, we hear so much about how we need to do this relief effort for these children who are in Central America because they need to escape the violence, they need to escape the drugs, they need to escape the killing. When are we going to find some kind of asylum for the kids of Chicago and the kids of Detroit? They really want to come to Indiana, but you know, Indiana will say, "We'll take them. We don't care." But they can't get there. You know, it's things.
Right. Does Indiana offer asylum?
You know something? Indiana is very homey. Gary is a little bit rough, but. But after that, once you get into the majority of the state, they'll take in anybody. They'll say, "Oh man, you could use a meal. Come here," and you know, and it's very small town America for the most part, because there are a lot of small towns in Indiana, outside of Indianapolis and Gary, and maybe Fort Wayne or. But after that, it's very small town America. The thing is that we've got a little bit of a problem here in the United States where we want to look good for all of the optical reasons, but we don't take care of our own very well. We want to show this great compassion and this love and bring these foreign kids by airplane sometimes, or let them ride the death trains for that matter. Into the United States, and, you know, turn a blind eye to it, if you will, dump them there. But we're being humanitarian. Meanwhile, who's going to step up and address the violence and the things that happen in Detroit and in Chicago? I will tell you, I wake up on Saturday morning, and by 5 o'clock in the morning on the Internet, they have the death toll from Friday. They have the wounded toll from Friday, and it looks like a war zone. And believe me, it's only in small parts of Chicago. It isn't the whole city. If you're away from the southwest side, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have a good day. But still, it takes place. And of all people, it ain't the mayor, and God darn it, the governor's in a bunch of hot water because he gave $50 million for an anti-violence campaign that went straight into his cronies' pockets. Not a dime was spent on any kind of anti-violence whatsoever. There's an investigation. We could be 3-for-3 here with the Illinois governors going to prison. Trust me. Of all people, a goofy-looking basketball player who I knew for 4 years down in Florida, Joakim Noah. And Joakim has got a heart of gold. And Joakim is one of these guys. He's so huge, but the kids just absolutely love him. He's a gentle giant. He's spending his own damn money, urging kids to step up, urging kids to stop the violence, urging kids to make better decisions. And he's buying the time himself. Why? He lives in Chicago. he can't stand the fact that kids are getting hurt or getting killed. And, you know, when you have to rely on an NBA guy to do the work that maybe parents should have been doing, that neighbors should have been doing, that, teachers, law enforcement, or those who have a more direct charge of our young people should have been doing, you got a problem.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, for years I've been saying the same thing. You know, why do we send so much foreign aid when there's so much that needs to be fixed at home? It's a terrible shame, you know, that, you know, earthquakes and typhoons happen. But, you know, surely the priority is here at home.
I would agree. And those who are in charge of such programs would be honest with what they're doing instead of doing what the Stop the Violence campaign did. It stuck, millions and hundreds of thousands of dollars into a bunch of small-town politicians' pockets. Nobody did a damn thing. There's no accountability of anything that ever got done. It was basically done to the last minute for this guy to try to win Cook County so he could win the governorship. The guy only won one county in the entire state. It was Cook County, and it pushed him over the edge by one percentage point. And guess what else happened? Many people died. Nobody benefited from that program. The only people who benefited from that were a bunch of Chicago crony politicians and a bunch of small tin horn dictators who said, "Ooh, look, free money. Nobody will know that we stole it."
And Sam, you've been quiet.
Oh, I wanted to listen. Yeah, I think, you know, TJ's right. You know, I mean, just that the, you know, our priorities are all screwed up, you know, and because it's all about money. I believe there's enough money in the world to solve all the problems. The sticky fingers get in the way, and it never gets to where it's supposed to go, and priorities are screwed up. You know, as I go back, for 2 weeks, Israel's fighting a war right now. It all started because three young teenagers were killed coming back from temple studies. And then there was a retaliation killing by against a young Palestinian kid by some Israeli crazy nationalists. Four people in a 2 week period were killed. In Chicago over the July 4th weekend, I think there were 14 people killed, 60 shot. Life goes on in these United States, and it's terrible everywhere. I think it's going to be one of the most violent years in American history. Without the school shootings. I mean, without the school shootings. It's just a shame. And, you know, we live in a violence. And Gary loves to say, you know, let's get grenades. Grenades don't kill people. People kill people. You know, whatever it is. And grenades don't kill. People don't kill. Grenades kill if we made them illegal. I believe it goes deeper than that, is that we live in such horrific economic times right now. And also, the drugs that are available. You're not feeling good psychologically. Here, take a pill. Or take another pill. Hey, here's another pill. And the access to weapons, of course. And Simon, you've always said, you know, look, you know, that guy that went crazy out in California a couple months ago, killed people. He ended up with guns. He started with a knife, ran out of gunfire, then he's had to run people down. I mean, if someone wants to hurt somebody in this country, they're going to hurt them. They're going to take a baseball bat. They're going to do everything they can, schools in session or not. And I just, you know, think we have to really look at our psyche. You know, what's really causing all this? You know, it's funny. I saw this, I forget where I saw it at. Anyway, there wasn't a worse time economically in this country, although I think the Great Recession and the Great Depression rival each other. I think the Great Recession was really a depression, and we're still in it. But the Great Depression, the people who killed themselves are the people who lost millions of dollars. They couldn't handle going through life broke. They didn't want to start all over again. They didn't go take a gun, walk into the stock room and start shooting people. They didn't walk into the bank. They killed themselves for whatever reason. They're out of money. They couldn't deal with things. During the Great Depression, there were there was less violence in this country And, of course, it was a smaller country and this and that, and it was a lot of different things than there were nowadays. People really tried to help each other out to the best of their ability, throwing the Dust Bowl and all that. I mean, it was a horrific time. Yes, there was violence. Yes, there was prejudices. Look at the Okies going to California, made up by and the Grapes of Wrath. However, there seemed to be more of a help thy fellow man out, you know, than there is nowadays. Nowadays, I mean, if there's ever another economic calamity in this country, like there was during the Great Depression, we're talking all-out man-for-man survival. We're not nice to each other when we want to be. And that is why I believe the banks were bailed out at the expense of the Main Street, is that they knew Main Street wasn't going to do anything, but because they had to bail the banks out, because the people couldn't go to the banks. People couldn't get their welfare check. People couldn't get their payroll check. Then there's going to be blood in the streets. So that's why they had to bail out the banks so they could keep doing that, because they know that's what type of society we live in. And that's where I think it's scary. The gun. I'm glad when I go to certain schools and there's an armed guard in the school. I'm glad that, you know, of that nature, people are taking it seriously. But the worst school killing took place in America was a guy who padlocked all the doors on a wooden schoolhouse out in Michigan and set it on fire, and almost 200 kids were burnt alive. He didn't use guns, and he was crazy, and he wanted to get back at people, and he burned them all. So if someone doesn't have a gun, they're gonna kill. That doesn't mean they're not gonna kill you. And we just live in a very violent society where man is a violent creature. America's a violent country, always has been. And look at the violence around us right now. And I really believe it's more of a socioeconomic phenomena right now than it is one of a gun culture.
All right. But the original question
was about schools.
Let's dump foreign aid and plow that money into our economy in a fashion.
About school security. I apologize. I thought it was about school security, and there was no school shooting. Okay, I apologize for going on a rant. yes, foreign aid. I'm just an easy one. Yes, foreign aid should be ramped back, and the money should be dumped into America. But I don't want the blokes that are in charge of the country right now doing it.
There are too many criminal enterprises who know how to eat the candy from within before it ever gets to the candy store or the end user.
Right. Okay. TJ, you talked about some of our antics many years ago. Have you by any chance been following the latest developments with Casey Anthony? It all started with a National Enquirer article, and National Enquirer is not a source that I give much credibility to. However, other sources,
they posted a couple of big stories.
Right. However, other news sources are picking up the story. Casey, as we all know, went through bankruptcy and supposedly she didn't have any money, couldn't get a job because no one would employ her. But her benefactor appears to be none other than her attorney, Cheney Mason. Apparently she is acting as maid and secretary.
At least she's not the nanny.
Yeah.
I've seen this, and I saw him on CNN, and there were people they were trying to interview him, and they were trying to keep a straight face because they just couldn't believe it. And you know, that's a strange case, and I will tell you that I did not directly follow that, but I did see a lot of what was going on in Orlando, which is an hour and 20 minutes south of where I was at the time. And during the court cases, it was absolutely insane. You had to have a ticket, as if you had a ticket to the circus in order to attend the court hearings. And there were people who were cutting in line to try to get those tickets. There were people getting hauled off on assault charges and battery charges because they wanted to get a peek at the girl who was going to burn in hell. And it was truly a circus, and to some degree, it still is. And I am amazed that there are people out there who are still fixated on a couple of those cases in Florida to the point where you would have sworn it happened last week. To the people directly involved with those cases, that's never going to go away. So many of those children who went missing, they're never going to be found, and that's horrible. And not knowing, not having any closure, that's unthinkable. The circus element around it is, it's nonstop. And I'm going to tell you, here in a few years, when a few people from that Satsuma area get out of prison, that circus is going to start all over again, too.
Oh, that circus has never stopped.
I know that if you follow the boards and stuff like that, you'd still think that was going on, and that was a tough time for the grandparents anyway, one of the parents anyway. It's hard to find any winner in that one. It's kind of painful to look back at that.
Right. And I won't give a name, but if I was to say Tinfoil Timmy, you likely would know who I'm talking about.
Like to play with crayons. Yeah. A person who'd never set foot in that area. Physically.
Right. He's at it again.
I saw that YouTube thing.
Yes, indeedy. Sam, you probably didn't follow the Casey Anthony trial or...
No, not at all. Sorry.
Right.
That's good. I know about it. Longer. We talked about it. She's faded into the ash heap of history, like a lot of other people be, like Trayvon Martin, Zimmerman, the guy, and all that. They're just gonna fade away. The only way they'll come back into the people's minds is if they do something to get us back into the, into the limelight, she probably was guilty, got away with it. I think I saw something scroll along the bottom of CNN where her lawyer said, a couple weeks ago, that she lives like a hermit now. And I just keep waiting for, I think her only chance for a real job is if Larry Flint hires her to be a centerfold in Hustler magazine.
I'll pass.
Now, as I recall, Larry did make her a huge offer, but she turned it down.
She might want to take that offer up again.
She's
not going to get a job in Hollywood. And for some bizarre reason, she was so polarizing, I think Hollywood dropped making a movie about her. If I'm not mistaken, they were afraid of the public relations fallout, which is really weird, considering some of the movies and stuff that some people, how Hollywood likes to exploit, and it would have been, most people probably would have went to it anyway, but for some reason they chose not to, and, so what else can you say that she, there's a lot of them, they're all, they have their 15 minutes of fame, good or bad, whatever got them there. And they just fade away till the next, because Americans' attention span isn't that long. And, right now it's focused on, like I said, last week it was about the plane. this week now it's about the shelling in Gaza and Israel defending itself. Next week it could be about, you know, pick a subject, you know, whatever happened, the tragedy.
Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's accidentally nicking her face while shaving.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, that could be one. Or John Kerry actually shows up to do his job. Whatever. I mean, it's just, it could go on and on and on. It could be, I happen to think the next thing is we have not heard the last of Vlad the Putin. And just between now and the end of the summer, most likely in August, because I'm a student of history, which will be the 100th anniversary of World War One, which got kind of started in the Ukrainian area, a little bit southwest in Serbia. I think Putin's going to make his move sometime in August. When the Ukrainian rebels start to lose, and eventually they will, and he'll step in as to say, I have to save these good people of Ukraine who want to be Russia. We're only going to go in, and then, of course, they'll have the plebiscite and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and maybe he'll even use it. Look, don't be surprised if Putin goes in to take over the crash site and says the Ukrainians were the ones screwing this thing around, and I had to solve it and be the big guy. He could do that, too. But anyway, that's going to be the next week's big thing. It'll be the plane again and Vlad the Putin.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock.
Mom to do something stupid.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock. We're flat out of time. So I'll TJ, I'll give you your last chance to give us words of wisdom.
All right, it's a long road ahead, folks. You know what life's going to deal with you, so be prepared for anything, be prepared for everything, and don't forget to smile when you can. It is worth living. Some of the stuff that you hear on the news, some of the stuff that we see day to day can be kind of tragic, but don't forget to smile. It's in your best interest.
And Sam?
Well, I learned something yesterday, and it really depressed me. Spider-Man doesn't have superpowers because he got beat up by New York City police in Times Square yesterday.
Oh, my.
So if you Google Spider-Man gets arrested in Times Square last night, you'll see him being beat, giving the crap beaten out of him by New York's finest. And I will add this, at least New York's finest didn't perform the chokehold on him, so Spider-Man is okay. Superpowers are down, but he is arrested and sitting in the right room awaiting this. And until next week, I hope everybody has a great weekend. A week.
Okay, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again next Sunday. Till then, goodbye.